Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I am your host, Dr. Matthew Broman. I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Akutan, Alaska, and I'm so glad you're with me this wonderful morning on Sunday. I hope that you have a great day, and it's always good to be here. Tell someone, let them know about this wonderful hour we spend together doing Bible study and wonderful music. On today's program, we're going to be doing a special Bible study on the biblical concept of the Trinity. Maybe you've never heard of that, or maybe you have. Well, we're going to break down this very important Bible doctrine. Also, the theme of the music, as you know, if you've listened before, I try to kind of pick themes and different kinds of styles of music. Well, today we're going to do a man named Daryl Mosley. We're going to do his music. I met him, he came to our church. I met him when he came. He played at the Grand Ole Opry, I believe, for over 10 years. He was doing backup and would play there. But he's such a humble man now. He's out on his own. He's had number one hits in bluegrass, southern gospel music, and I think two other genres. He's in. He does story music with his guitar. Just a really meaningful music. And I do think you will enjoy that. Tell someone about this program, Hour of Hope. It comes on at 11 a.m. on these radio stations, or you can go to apradio.org and you can listen to all the past programs we've had. Let's pray, and then let's get into some Daryl Mosley music. Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Dear God, I ask you that you would bless this service. Thank you again, we pray, this service in the sense of this Bible study. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Do what the good book says. Do what the good book says. It's all there in black and white. What is wrong and what is right. If you want to reach that promised land, the key is right there in your hands. It's not hard to understand. Just do what the good book says.
Child sitting on my grandma's knee. She told me, son, you hear me when I say, the Lord has got a plan for you. He'll always know just what to do. He gave his word to help you through. So open it and read and just
do what the good book says. Do what the good book says. It's all there in black and white. What is wrong and what is right. If you want to reach that promised land, the key is right there in your hands. It's not hard to understand. Just do what the good book says.
Everywhere you turn, the devil's tugging at your sleeve, tempting you every way he can. Don't go down the road with him, or take that wicked path of sin. Brand new life you can begin, in Jesus you receive. So just
do what the good book says. Do what the good book says. It's all there in black and white. What is wrong and what is right. If you want to reach that promised land, the key is right there in your hand. It's not hard to understand. Just do what the good book says. Wrong and what is right. If you want to reach that promised land, the key is right there in your hand. It's not hard to understand. Just do what the good book says.
If you want to reach that promised land, the key is right there in your hand.
It's not hard to understand. Just do what the good book says.
Was a Humphreys County treasure, knew everyone by name. He could stand and talk for hours on just almost anything. He'd been our local barber over 57 years, good at raising up your spirits while he's lowering your ears. I never saw him in a bad mood or without that ready smile. Sometimes late in the day, I'd stop in and talk a while. Once I asked him for his formula, his secret of life, he sat quiet for a moment, smiled again and then replied. The secret of life ain't no secret at all. Just keep on moving forward, get up each time you fall. Some friends that you can count on and understanding why, and a fresh hot cup of coffee, that's the secret of life. Make some time to play, and you will never miss that dollar bill that you give away. When you're at the crossroads of choosing wrong from right, a clean conscience is a pillow you'll rest easy on at night. Times are gonna happen, ain't nothing you can do. Just hold on to your loved ones and they'll help you make it through. Be quick to ask forgiveness, be quicker to forgive, and thank the good Lord every morning for another day to live. The secret of life ain't no secret at all. Just keep on moving forward, get up each time you fall. Some good friends you can count on and understanding why, a fresh hot cup of coffee, that's the secret of life. Got some friends that I can count on and understanding why, and a fresh hot cup of coffee, that's the secret of life.
You can see why I like Daryl Mosley. That's very clear acoustic guitar, and then it definitely is story music. Just beautiful, beautiful music. And I think you're going to, if you don't fall in love with his music, you will at least appreciate and definitely get a message So as I mentioned, we had him come, and he'd been in the Grand Ole Opry before he went back on his own, or he went on his own for over 10 years. So he's a good musician. And you would have thought, when you were talking to somebody who would, or I would have thought, I thought, who'd been in the Grand Ole Opry, he would be prideful, but he was so humble and genuine. He was willing to share stories, but he didn't put on like he was all that. Because you playing the Grand Ole Opry, that's a pretty big professional accomplishment. But he came to our small little church, came on a love offering, and just could not have been a more gracious individual. So with that, I'm going to say, let's listen to a little bit more of Daryl Mosley's music. Here's a song that he created. He's going to explain about it. He mentions Gaither, and Gaither is one of the biggest names in Southern gospel music. But this is a song that he's really, really well known for. He's had other people record it, but it gives you a testimony about the power of Jesus Christ. So enjoy him setting the song up, and then you will enjoy the Ask the Blind Man He Saw It All.
You know, every now and then something comes along in your life and it changes your life. And lots of times you are prepared for those moments. You know, you graduate school, you get married, you start a family, you start a new job, things like that. But sometimes things come in your life that you're not prepared for that changes the direction of your life and then changes your life forever. And sometimes those are difficult or even tragic. But sometimes God surprises you with something that just unexpected. And that's certainly what he did for me with this next song. I was coming back from a concert in North Carolina one night late and wrote this thing in about 30 minutes. And made a little demo of it, didn't give it a lot of thought. Put it on a little demo tape, sent it out. A few weeks later, I got a phone call from Bill Gaither's record company. They called me, said, is this Daryl? I said, yes. And he said, Daryl, I'm with Bill Gaither's record company, and we've got this group that's just really looking for a special song. And they've heard this song of yours, and they've been singing it a cappella at their concerts because they don't have music for it. And they said, man, every time they sing it, the Spirit falls like they have never seen. And they just believe this song is supposed to be their song. They would like to record it. Would that be all right? Well, I fasted and prayed for 2 or 3 seconds. No, of course, I was tickled. I was honored, you know. And I said I'd be honored. And so they recorded it and made it the title of the album, the first single. And in the years since this thing's been out, man, this song has been around the world. I mean, I've heard it in different languages. I've heard it in all kinds of different styles. I've heard it done Southern gospel style. I've heard it done in black gospel. I've heard it done in bluegrass, you know, and in different languages. It's been amazing. I mean, it actually made the list as one of the top 35 Southern gospel songs of all time. But I'll tell you what I never get over and what changed me more than anything else, and that's the stories. And sometimes the stories are simple and they're, you know, well, we sing that at my church, or I sing that in my little group that I sing in, and I appreciate that, you know. Sometimes they're a little more personal, you know. Sometimes it sings like we played that song at Mama's funeral because that was her favorite song, and I appreciate that, I really do. But every now and then you get a story and it's just, I don't know what to do with it. It's too overwhelming. There was a little lady stopped me one time, took me by the sleeve. I was walking out the door. She said, darling, I just wanted to let you know that your song got me through chemo. I didn't know what to say. I just hugged her and cried. I didn't know what else to do, you know. There was another lady that stopped me one time, and she said, I'd like to tell you a story. I said, all right. She said, I was married for 40 years to the meanest man that ever lived. I thought, boy, this is going to be a story. She said he was mean. He didn't want any part of the Lord. He didn't want any part of church. And every Sunday morning, he'd make fun of me for going. She said, one day we happened to be home watching television, flipping channels, and the Gaither Show happened to be on, and that song of yours came on. And he got to listen to it. And she said it got to the second verse, and that's when he broke. She said he started crying, And she'd never seen him cry. And she said, that was the day his life turned around. And he ended up spending the next 2 years of his life, which was all the life he had left here, sitting with her and serving God in the same little church he made fun of her for going to. Well, you know, I'll never get over those stories, you know, and the impact that they have in my life. But I think what I have learned from the whole experience with this song, one of the main lessons the Lord has taught me through this, is truly the power of your story. You know, it's really important that our friends and our family and our neighbors, it's really important that they know how God changed Saul to Paul. It's important that they know how Jesus restored Peter. But you know what they really need to know? They need to know what God did for you. They need to know how Jesus restored you and how you depend on him and how he gets you through the difficult times and the hard times. Because they know you and they trust you and they can see you and they can think, well, you know what? If God can change them, he can change me too. And that's how lives are truly changed. So my number one encouragement to you today is whatever your story is, wherever you've been in life, whatever your walk is now, whatever your job, career, skill, hobby is, whatever your story is, share Jesus through it. Let other people see Jesus in you. That changes lives. Well, I'm going to sing you this song. If you've listened to Southern Gospel music, you may have heard this. The Booth Brothers are the gentlemen that recorded it. I apologize. I do not sound at all like them. In fact, my version is a little bit different, but this is pretty close to what it sounded like when it was first written. I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over. I wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction. He stopped just to catch his breath. Oh, I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. Oh, he smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. Oh, it's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. Now here's the good part right here. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, you have tried everything you can possibly think of, and there's no relief to be found. Friend, that very same Jesus that altered the future of a blind man, the deaf, and the lame, oh, he is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. You'll be trying to crippled man, did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. Oh, it's hard to believe,
windows are boarded, there's locks on the doors. The paint is now peeling and chipping away. Down off the highway, it's just an eyesore. People drive by and they just look away. But I still remember a time in the past, with cars in the driveway and freshly mowed grass. The church bells ring so that the neighbors could hear. Oh, I still remember a time when God lived here. On Sundays, my family and I would arrive. We'd sit on the fourth row of the piano side. We'd sing about blood and we'd hear about grace. And the joy of the Lord put a smile on my face. We'd leave at the altar our burdens and cares, and one of the brethren dismissed us in prayer. The pictures are vivid and coming so clear, 'cause I still remember a time when God lived. Springtime baptisms, homecoming days, helping a stranger that passed by our way. Vacation Bible school and pink lemonade. I wonder where everyone worships these days. 'Cause now it sits empty, so vacant and sad. Marks like a tombstone of what we once had. A sweet southern temple where God could reside, until we so carelessly pushed it aside. But oh, how I wish I could turn back the clock to when its foundation was still on the rock. As I drive away, I brush back the tears, 'cause I still remember a time when God lived here. The pictures are vivid and coming so clear. Oh, I still remember a time when God lived here.
We're going to go ahead and get into our Bible study, and we'll have more time for some Daryl Mosley music. On today's program, our Bible study is going to be studying the Trinity. I was doing some preparation for my YouTube channel, By the Bible, where I do reaction to different biblical videos and evaluate them or teachings by the Bible. And there's several people out there that teach that there is no such thing as the Trinity. They will say, well, the Bible never mentions the Trinity. And they will say the oneness of God, not three gods. So I want to be very clear in saying the Bible does mention the teaching of the Trinity. Let me pray, and then we're going to get into and discuss. And I'm hoping that when we're done, you have a good, we're not covering tons of verses, but you have a better understanding of what is the Trinity. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for all those that are listening. We pray the Holy Spirit would guide us as we study the Trinity. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Trinity, they will say, well, it's not mentioned in the Bible. So the word Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible. In fact, did you know the word Bible is never mentioned in the Bible? So then is it wrong? No. It's a word that communicates something that is taught in the Bible. So in other words, the word Trinity is not, they had to find a word that communicates what is taught in the Bible for the nature of who is God. Trinity means three in one, or unity. Let's start with the first commandment. Do you know the Ten Commandments, what the first commandment is? Does anybody know what it is? It's Exodus 20, verse 3. So here's what Moses wrote. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We need to be true to God. And I've been asking people, how do you keep God, number one? But as a way to set this up, we need to make sure that our belief in God is biblically accurate by the Bible. That's one of the reasons I call my YouTube channel By the Bible. If you wanted to email me, I could send you a link. I've also got a couple books on Amazon, MATHEWVROMAN. You could check those out. And also my email, if you wanted a link to my YouTube channel, it is MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. That's V as in Victor. So we need to make sure God is number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Open your Bible. That's Exodus chapter 20, the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. Then the Bible is very clear. Make sure when you're listening to this, you don't, I'll try to repeat it, go slow, because the Trinity is can be very confusing. But if you study the verses, it does make sense, and it is there. One God, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So there's one creator God that created the heaven and the earth. So let's first of all acknowledge there is one God that made everything. Then Isaiah 45, 5 and 6 says this. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God, not gods, beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may live from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So there's only one Lord, one God. We need to make sure we follow that God. Now, what do we know about God? Well, he's the true God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, they call it the Shema. It's just a name for this passage, but it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. There's only one God. In Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, we see an interaction with Jesus. So how many gods are there? There is only one. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him. So they're asking Jesus question, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So Jesus says there's only one. And then he gives thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So how many gods are there? There's one Lord. Then we need a little more characteristics of who God is, how is he described. 1 Timothy 1:17, they call it the pastor epistles, the church epistles, because it was written to a pastor to tell how to run the church. Now unto the King eternal, he goes on and on, he has no beginning, no end, immortal, he's not going to die. Now Jesus did die, but he rose from the dead. Invisible, you can't see him, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So what we see is the Trinity, there is one God. What we're going to do is we're going to study it, and then we'll have a song, another Daryl Mosley song, and then I have a short clip also of another teacher named Bodhi Bakum that he gives a very short teaching also to bring more clarity. So we have to believe there's one God. And it's not about you're right and you can believe this. No, you have to believe there's one God. Now, the second one, this is where it gets a you can say confusing, because it violates our world. We're used to certain parameters. We live in a physical world. But what I'm going to share with you is not what the Bible, it's what the Bible teaches. It said there is one God who is three unique persons. He's fully God, but he's three unique persons. God, one in three. Each one is separate, but each one is one. I know we can't even fathom that, but that is what the Bible teaches. First, God the Father, Philippians 1:2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So God the Father, but yet there's God the Son, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We see God the Son. So we have God the Father, God the Son. Now God the Spirit. This takes place in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 through 4. But Peter said, Ananias. So these two people come in, Ananias and then later Sapphira, his wife. And they don't give the right kind of offering. And this is, they're confronted about it. But you'll see how God is also God the Spirit. One God, three persons. Completely one in essence and completely unique in personhood. Three in one. Acts 5, 3 through 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has God, Satan, filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So Peter confronts this guy. He says, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power, own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto, it doesn't say Spirit, it says God. So clearly there, we see God the Spirit. So the Trinity is one God, but three unique persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. A couple other Trinity verses. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, one name, of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Not names, name, because it's one being, three persons. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. There's also a verse in 1 John that talks about the three testify and the three are one. So it's very clear in Scripture. So they needed a word that would communicate one God, three persons. Thus, tri, three, entity, unity, three in one. So that's why we use Trinity to describe what we see taught about God. So that's our Bible study on the Trinity. If you email me, I can send you this little Bible study sheet with these verses. But I'll read the verses again, just so you can look them up on your own. I started with, thou shalt have no other gods for me, Exodus 20, verse 3. Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girdeth thee, thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is only one God. Mark 12, 28 through 31. And the one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And then 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So that was 1 Timothy 1:17. Then God the Father, Philippians 1:2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son, Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God the Spirit, Acts 5:13, it says, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And then at the end it says, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And then we did Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So that was our Bible study on the Trinity, and I hope it made sense. If you have any questions, please email me and I can dialogue with you and help you better understand what we've taught, what we were teaching right there. My email again is mathewvroman@gmail.com. Well, let's have a few more songs from Daryl Mosley and then we'll have some prayer together.
Guys, and I love to hear their stories. You know, they're a few years older than me, and so some of their experiences are a little different, and so I'll get them talking. And I wrote this song kind of, not really as a tribute to them, but some of the things that I heard them talk about found its way into this song. When we were boys, the world was our backyard. It was comic books, pen knives, and baseball cards. Hide and seek and tug of war, race you to the candy store. We didn't know what girls were for back when we were boys. When we were boys, we'd sleep out beneath the stars, trade bottles in four nickel candy bars, floating on an inner tube, skipping rocks and bending rules. Oh, the things we got into back when we were boys. We didn't realize we had it made, with a cane pole and a best friend in the shade. Supper on the stove, no bills to pay. I wish I could go back just one more day. When we were boys, we'd slam that old screen door. Each day brought new adventures to explore. Stay out till the sun was gone, till street lights started coming on. Mom would holler, y'all come home, back when we were boys. We didn't realize we had it made, with a cane pole and a best friend in the shade. Supper on the stove, no bills to pay. I wish I could go back just one more day. When we were boys, we dreamed of being grown. We would have chased that thought if we had known. Mom and Dad still young and strong, everyone was safe at home. In just a blink, it all was gone back when we were boys. Just a blink, it all was gone back when we were boys.
Daryl Mosley, y'all.
Wow. Thank you so much.
He was saved when he was seven. By 17, he'd been called to preach. From the hills of Carolina, his field was wide with many souls to reach. With no formal education or preaching school to help him with his call. Just a solid faith in Jesus and a Bible in his front bib overalls. He lived alone in the mountains. He never had no running water or TV. But you could hear him on the front porch picking guitar, singing Closer Walk with Thee. He was a crack shot with a rifle and the best tractor mechanic in the land. He could show preach you a sermon just as good as any highbrow preacher man. We called him Hillbilly Graham, missionary for the mountain crowd. His walk was straight and narrow like the road behind the tractor where he plowed. He didn't dress up like some others you'd see on Sunday morning worshiping. But old Hillbilly Graham knew what's in his heart means everything. Well, the church board called a meeting, told Hillbilly you should be ashamed. You're out talking about Jesus when you look like you've been left out in the rain. You need to clean up your appearance, son. Take a little pride in who you are. Lose those faded overalls, the ball cap, and that beat-up old guitar. Well, Hillbilly kicked his chair back. He looked those fancy church folks in the eye. Said, can you show me in the scripture where it tells me thou shalt wear a suit and tie? All but the good book talks of judging other folks when they don't look the way you do. But don't worry, when I'm talking with the Lord, I'll put in a word for you. We called him Hillbilly Graham, missionary for the mountain crowd. His walk was straight and narrow like the road behind the tractor where he plowed. He didn't dress up like some others you'd see on Sunday morning worshiping. But old Hillbilly Graham knew what's in his heart means everything. Whoa, Hillbilly Graham knew what's in his heart means everything. Oh, thank you so much.
Well, I know you can see why Daryl Mosley is a unique blessing. I'm sure some of you are like, I don't like the acoustic guitar, but you can capture his heart. He sings of a bygone era. He sings about people's faith. I think by his accent, you're not surprised to learn that he's from a small town in Tennessee. And he just writes about growing up and those life. And it's just a nice, whimsical sound, but his heart is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I just really enjoy his music. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing for God? Well, that's a weird question. Not so weird here, but what I mean is, yes, he plays great, but it comes out of his life experience. And everyone who knows God can use their life as a platform to touch other people. Most of us aren't going to be able to play the guitar like Daryl Mosley, but there are things we can do to be a blessing. Let me ask you, are you studying your Bible? We talked about the Trinity. Well, if you know your Bible, then you can, when somebody comes and says, the Trinity's not biblical, and we just went over it, we gave you the verses. You can say, well, here's the verses. And you don't have to worry about being taught false teaching if you know the 66 books of the Bible to study it. I love studying the Bible. In fact, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. make sure to study it so you can know the correct teaching. And you can do that. Reach out to me if you need a Bible study from home. Maybe there's an island you live on and there's no, or you live somewhere where there's not a Bible teaching church. Well, reach out to me. We could, through Zoom and different things, help you get a church by you starting it, by you studying the Bible. It's been so good to focus on the Bible. Let me show another passage. And this was a recent video I did on my YouTube channel. I keep mentioning that, by the Bible. I was giving the audience three ways every Christian can protect themselves from false teaching. And in Acts chapter 17, there's a passage. And I want to show you this. This is the early church. Paul's going around preaching the gospel. And this is Acts 17, 10 through 12. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So they kicked out Paul and Silas. They didn't want to hear what they had to say. So they go to this place called Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. That would have been where they taught. Paul goes into synagogues at the beginning of the church, and he teaches on the word of God. Now here's your 3 points, see if you can find them. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. That's where you just come from. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were prepared mentally to receive what God told them. So we have to be ready in our mind. Number two. Notice what, so this is Paul. Paul ends up writing a lot of the New Testament in the power of the Holy Spirit. But just because they were ready to receive it didn't mean they naturally accepted it just because it's Paul. And search the, so it says, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So Paul's up there teaching. Obviously, it's biblical truth, but they're like, we want to study it for ourselves. So they studied it. They would have the Old Testament. They're reading. They're searching the scriptures to say, is what he's saying? So Paul would say this about Jesus and the gospel, all these things they said. Is what he's saying what we see in the scripture? So daily they would search. And then, so the first thing is readiness of mind. Second is searching the scripture. So if somebody's teaching you, well, don't rely on your feelings to evaluate. It comes down to, what do you use to evaluate if the teaching is of God? Do you use your feelings? Well, feelings can change. Is it by sight? You know, you see this person who's smiling, you can't evaluate by how somebody looks. Satan comes as an angel of light, the word of God says. And then, so you've got to have a way to evaluate what they're saying. Is it of God? Well, the Holy Scriptures. And that requires us to search the Scriptures, study them, and compare what's being said to what the Bible says. A friend of mine said when in the 60s, there was this, all these cults would spring up. I think it was the 60s. And he would go around with his friends, and they would go in these cult meetings, these leaders, and they would spread out in the crowd, and the teacher would start teaching, these false teachers, and one of those guys would stand up and say, that's not what the Bible says, and they'd read the verse, and the security would escort him out. Then the guy would start talking, and then another one of them would stand up and say, that's not what the Bible says, and they would read the verse. And after, I guess, three or four of them did it, the guy whimpered. He couldn't stand with the word of God, because that's the abject standard of God's word. But then the final one, so readiness of mind, search scriptures, verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, meaning they took, so they were ready to receive it, apply it. But once they established it was of God and it was the truth, they applied it. So those are the three things you can do to protect yourself, action steps from false teachings, and help you to be a Christian who's living by the Bible. Number one, be ready in your mind, active. Don't fall asleep. Be in this, you know, like, hey, I want to hear from God. I'm ready to receive it. Number two, searching the scriptures. When you hear teaching, studying it. And number three, applying it to your life. Those three things, readiness of mind, search scriptures, believing it and applying it. Those they were new Christians. They became Christians from this because it was beginning of the church. But the principle is to apply the word of God. Again, that's Acts 17, 10 through 12. I hope you and will read that for yourself, study it for yourself, and apply it to your
one life. Night in February in 1978. a Louisville and Nashville train a hauling freight. Changed the town forever down in rural Tennessee. When 24 cars jumped the tracks in downtown Waverly, emergency officials converged upon the scene. Two tankers filled with propane were among all the debris. They shut off gas and power in that area of town. And trying to keep the tankers cool, they had them watered down. 24th of February, not long after midday, a cleanup crew arrived to get the tankers moved away. The temperature was climbing and the sun rose like a bird. And before the work began, the unthinkable occurred. You could see the smoke and fire from many miles away. The city and her people still wear the scars today. The fires of hell came calling, and the devil got his due. And 16 people lost their lives the day the tanker blew. Dozens more good people were injured from the blast. Businesses and houses were turned to smoke and ash. The fire chief and police chief were among the precious lost. And you can't put a price tag on the carnage or the cost. Today in downtown Waverly, a train car stands alone. The names of all the fallen are written on a stone. Forever a reminder of that February day, when a town was changed forever by the passing of a train. You could see the smoke and fire from many miles away. The city and her people still wear the scars today. The fires of hell came calling, and the devil got his due. And 16 people lost their lives the day the tanker blew. 16 good people lost their lives the day the tanker blew.
Here's what the Bible says. Jesus said this, enter ye, this is Matthew chapter 7, 13, 14, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there few there be that find it. That's Matthew 7, 13, 14. We need to make sure we are on the path to eternal life. He has a song, and it's The Deal, and it basically talks about that wide road that leads to destruction. Satan will give you everything you want, and just here's the deal. You can get everything you want. Just follow him. But the cost is your soul, and you don't want to do that. You want to follow Jesus Christ. Don't make the deal with the devil. Make it with God Almighty. Sending us out is Daryl Mosley singing The Deal. Have a great week. See you next week.
So that's why I wrote this song. This is from the other side. This is simply called The Deal. Leaning closer, I have something you will want to hear. I hold all the answers to your problems and your fears. Ignore the voice of conscience. Let my words seep through. Follow me, and I will make your selfish dreams come true. Everyone is welcome. We will open wide the gate and spread our propaganda out just like a grand buffet. You'll feast on twisted science that will justify your deeds, and I will be attentive to your every want and need. Oh, we'll legalize your pleasures, we'll legislate your sins, we'll change the terminology so no one can offend. The voice of opposition will be silenced for its views, and I'll let nothing interfere with all I have for you. I have no book of scripture full of antiquated rules, but I'll buy your first class ticket on this sinking ship of fools. I have pills to lift your spirit, I'll put status in your drink, and cable news to tell you how to vote and how to think. Oh, that little voice that whispers of how Jesus is the way, we'll drown it with hyperbole and gossip of the day. So drink from my self-righteous cup, eat my poison fruit, and tell yourself that God is nothing but a point of view. Oh, we'll legalize your pleasures, we'll legislate your sins, we'll change the terminology so no one can offend. The voice of opposition will be silenced for its views, 'cause I'll let nothing interfere with all I have for you. You'll see the hell you've chosen when there's no more second chance, but you have to pay the fiddler if you're gonna do the dance. Regret the deals you made, but then regret's a part of life when you waste all of your tokens on this side of paradise. It'll cost you not one penny. In fact, I'll pick up the tab, and you can keep all of the pride and self-awareness you can grab. You can keep all of your arrogance, your greed and vanity. I'll give you all the world, but your soul belongs to me. Praise God, I'm going to miss that deal. How about you? Amen.